Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk podcast, presented by Coors Light. Mark Schanowski joined by Kendall Gill and Will Perdue. We're counting them down now. We're getting into the final couple of months of the season, and it's going to be a really important evaluation period for the front office to decide who's going to be part of this going forward, who's going to be out, and that pertains to the coaching staff, I guess, as well as the players.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there are a lot of players on the block, too, that need to really showcase what they can do these last 30-plus games. You look at Chris Dunn, who I think is number one, who really needs to show us what he can do these last 30 games. Despite what everybody says, Jabari Parker maybe not back. Well, I don't think he'll be back at that number, but you never know. If he finishes up the season strong, they may bring him back for a lesser number.
If he keeps playing good minutes.
Yeah, right? Yeah, good minutes. That's his new name now. Good minutes, Parker.
Good minutes, Parker.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing, at this time last year, you would have bet that Dunn was part of the core moving forward. Now you really have to question that.
Sure.
Because now, if you look at the roster, the way it sits now, there's really only three guys, maybe even two, quite honestly, and Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen that are part of the core. I think since they've made the holiday trade, you've seen dramatic improvement in Hutchinson, but can you say that he's definitely part of the core moving forward? Because we don't really know what this plan has in store for it.
I think Carter's part of the core.
Well, Carter, yes. I apologize. It's quickly, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. He's off for the rest of the season after Hanson.
Already forgot about him.
So, you know, but I'd say he's part of the core as well. But, you know, you just don't know. And that's the hard part, is we're not sure the direction of this organization, as you just talked about. This isn't just about the evaluation of the players anymore.
Right.
This is about the evaluation of the coaching staff as well, and the direction of this organization and their ability to not only target free agents, but somehow convince a big-name, all-star free agent to come to Chicago.
Well, you guys have been through this every day. The players are talking to reporters, and when a team is struggling, it doesn't take long for the frustration to come out. During the first half of the season, the Bulls players masked whatever frustrations they had pretty well. But over the last couple of weeks, Zach LaVine in particular has said a number of things about how this isn't right. You know, we can't have teams laughing at us. You know, right now we're the joke of the league. And, you know, for a proud franchise like the Chicago Bulls with a worldwide brand, you've got a third of the season to go. And do they need to change this perception? I mean, or do you just limp along to the lottery? I mean, you got to show some pride out there.
You got to show some pride out there like they did in the first half against the Clippers. The way that they came out, I thought that Jabari Parker changed the whole complexion of that game with his effort. As long as they show effort like that and get everybody else involved, because I think everybody followed Jabari's play along with Chandler Hutchinson. If they can do that, then I think you restore some confidence in the future with the fan base.
You know, the interesting thing is I went through this exact – well, let me backtrack. A very similar situation with the San Antonio Spurs with – injury as far as to David Robinson, to Sean Elliott, to Chuck Person, down the road to where I played on a team in San Antonio that went 20-62. 20-62. The head coach got fired. Very similar to what's going on with Chicago, because Greg Popovich, who fired Bob Hill, didn't like the direction that the team was going, didn't like the culture that was being developed. A lot of the same things that you heard Jim Boylan say. But the one thing I always felt, even when we went 20-62, I felt like we were headed in the right direction. As a player, I felt like Pop was the guy that was going to turn things around. Once we got David back, once we got Sean back, but I also saw the development in myself, Monty Williams, Avery Johnson. But you always felt at the end of the day, even after we lost one game after another, the effort was there. We were headed in the right direction. I'm curious about what the players on this team think, because if you read their body language, you listen to what they're saying, most notably Zach LaVine, there seems to be a lot of confusion about what's going on with this organization, which direction are they going. I'm sure quietly they're wondering, will Boylan be here next year? Will we be playing for a third coach in, you know, a year and a half? So that there's a lot to be answered from this point till the end of the season, and even more so in the offseason to try to right this ship.
Does the front office listen to the comments from the players? They take stock of players saying that they're frustrated with what's going on, or do they kind of dismiss that as, we're in charge of building the organization, they're the employees? Can that have an impact on what happens this summer going forward?
No, I don't think they listen to the players too much. I mean, it's been my experience that when I was playing, that very rarely did they listen to players unless those players were like top-notch stars. You know, the organization pretty much has their mind made up how they're going to move. You know, with some play, like it, collectively, I think if a lot of players are complaining all at the same time, then yeah, they may listen. You know, a little bit, but you know, when one player talks, it doesn't really affect their decision making at all.
You know, when you asked that question, it made me think of a Bobby Knight speech that I heard one time, and he mentioned, I know all you out there hear me, but are you actually listening to what I'm saying? And I think that the most teams will do this unless, like Kendall said, you're LeBron James, Steph Curry, you know, somebody that carries that much weight, somebody as one individual that can totally change the face of a franchise. Those guys, they listen to. I think anybody else, franchises, organizations, they hear what players are saying. I'm not so sure they listen to what they're saying. They want to portray that, hey, we care, we're listening, we want you to feel like you have a say-so in what's happening. Because remember, Zach LaVine stepped up and talked about, because of his contract situation, because he's locked in here, he wants to have a say-so in what's going on. So I think they may be sitting there face-to-face, but is he actually having an impact on what I think they want to do in the future? I seriously doubt it.
We're less than 2 weeks away from the NBA trade deadline. I know a lot of contending teams are going to be looking to make moves to shore up their rosters. The Bulls really don't have much that they can do because Jabari Parker is in at about $20 million and Robin Lopez is at 14. It's difficult to trade those contracts because you have to match salary. Do you anticipate the Bulls will do anything? Could there be a possibility that a Chris Dunn or a Bobby Portis could get moved in the next 2 weeks?
I think it's a possibility of that happening, yeah, like a Chris Dunn or Bobby Portis. Zach LaVine, no. Lauri Markkanen, no. Wendell Carter, no. Hutchinson, no, because I think that those are the key pieces for the future. But, you know, in Bobby's case, he's going to be looking for a new contract. Yeah. They may not want to deal with that situation anymore. Chris Dunn, if they can make themselves better at the point guard position, or if they feel that they're going to draft the point guard in the future, then they probably would move him right now as well.
And they've been looking at this Ja Morant kid from Murray State. Gar's been at a couple of different arenas scouting him. Other members of the Bulls front office have seen him as well. If they get the third, fourth pick and the kid's on the board, they may take him. And then you've got the whole issue with Chris Dunn that he's eligible for a contract extension this summer. So there's a lot of dollars involved in this whole thing. But the thing is, with a point guard position, it's so important for the direction of your franchise. You hate to start all over again at that position.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is this Morant kid an NBA player? I think so. I've watched him play numerous times. I think he's got the skill set. But then Also, I think what we have to remember is the competition that he's playing in right now. Yes, yeah. It's Division One, but it's the OVC, right. Ohio Valley Conference. So going from that straight to the NBA, it's going to be a learning curve.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think that even if the Bulls drafted him, they'd want to just basically hand him the keys and say, go to work. I think they'd want to bring him along slowly to let him develop. But at the same time, is that as the backup to Dunn? Because as you talked about, the Bulls have to make a decision on dollars and length of contract with Dunn. Or do they possibly look to trade him and bring somebody else in who they think is temporary, but at a much, should we say, more workable number?
Well, that leads us to one of Kendall's favorite topics, the possible Derrick Rose homecoming. I'm bringing it up because, he's a candidate for sixth man of the year. True. He's having a fantastic season with the Timberwolves, averaging about 19 points a game, shooting really good percentages from the field and the three-point line. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Derrick and his camp have ruled out the possibility of a Chicago homecoming. Don't know exactly how the Bulls feel about it, but if you brought in a Ja Morant, could he and Derrick coexist if you brought him back as the veteran mentor?
Absolutely, because Derrick would serve as just that. He would serve as a mentor to a Ja Morant. You have your point guard for the future. You have your point guard of the past and the present. and, Derrick can still play at a high level. If he had been in the Eastern Conference this year, he probably would be on the All-Star team. So I think also with Derrick coming back, it would excite the fan base again, mm-hmm. And then with a couple of more moves, if the Bulls decide to be bold and perhaps go after Anthony Davis and they're able to acquire Anthony Davis, then now we're talking about real excitement in the city.
I agree with what Kendall said. Unfortunately, I think that the Bulls management thinks that there might be too much history there.
No.
I think, A, it would excite the fan base, because we know here at NBC Sports Chicago, anytime you tweet anything about Derrick, do video about Derrick, there's thousands and thousands of hits. It sparks interest. I find two things very interesting that I think could be beneficial if he came back to Chicago. One, I think he's accepted what his physical limitations are, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. even though he's been playing great basketball, to hear him actually accept the fact that I'm okay coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And coming off the bench, I want to play well enough to be considered for sixth man of the year. But also,
as long as he gets good minutes.
In good minutes. Right. That name's already taken. Good minutes. We'd have to think of another name for Derrick. Quality minutes, Rose.
Quality minutes, yeah.
We got good minutes, Jabari. Good minutes, Parker. But the other night when he hit one of those game-winning shots, he did that post-game interview. And it was the Minnesota game because they showed all the fans giving him a standing ovation after the interview. But I found what he said to be very interesting. I talk now to my teammates more than I ever have, mm-hmm. as far as from a leadership standpoint.
Yeah.
I just don't lead by example anymore. I lead by talking. I show guys things. To me, that's if that's truly the case, and I've only known Derrick to always talk the truth, and a lot of times the truth has got him in trouble, because people just don't understand where he comes from. But to hear him say that, to me, leads me to think that he understands where he is in his career. He's accepted where he is in his career. And he's all of a sudden realized, hey, man, the game's going to be here when I'm done. Let me see what I can do to help some of these young fellas make them better so that they can follow my lead and become better players and help the league. And I think that would work in the system. As far as you talked about, first and foremost, they go for Morant in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
You're listening to the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Mark Schanowski, Kendall Gill, Will Perdue with you. All right, we're getting down to the final 30-plus games of the season. What are the things you guys are going to be watching for in terms of development that'll make you feel a little bit better about this rebuild going into the summer?
One, Chandler Hutchinson. I really love the way that he's been playing. I really want to see how much he progresses. I think that he's great handling the basketball. I think that he's great in all facets of the game. He has a high motor. Now he's starting to knock down a few shots from the outside. I'd like to see him get a little bit better in that regard. I'd like to see Lauri Markkanen get more aggressive, not shoot exclusively three-point shots, but I'd like to see him more in the post and taking the ball to the basket. And with Zach, I'd like to see Zach's evolution more. We all know he can score. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to see him play better defense on the defensive end so that he can be mentioned as one of those top players that are two-way.
Well, we all want to see improvement, right? And I'm not even going to talk about the coaching staff. I'm just going to talk about the players. I want to continue to see improvement from, as Kendall talked about, Hutchinson. I love, and you know, we've talked about it in this Clipper game, how I feel like this is some of the best he's played from an aggression standpoint.
Sure.
He's been mixing it up on the defensive end, took a charge. He's been getting rebounds, pushing the basketball because he can handle it, gives them another option. I feel like the game now is finally starting to slow down for him. But a lot of that is because the Bulls made the necessary trade, put him in the starting lineup, and he's getting the necessary experience, the minutes. As Jabari likes to say, the good minutes.
Right.
And he's learning from those good minutes. And I think some of that is, like Kendall talks about, the experience he has as a four-year guy in college has paid dividends. I want to see Lauri get more aggressive. I think he settles for too many threes. I want to see Zach become a better leader. And I truly believe that Zach is trying because, you know, I was talking to Kelly Kroll, trying to get back up to speed because I didn't work the three previous games. And she says it's just, you know, the media, all right, we want to talk to Zach. We want to talk to Zach. He's trying his best to handle the situation. I mean, he literally could go off the handle and blast everybody, and I think rightfully so. But he's done a pretty good job of biting his tongue and trying to say the right thing and try to, you know, help lead this thing in the right direction. But I think the biggest thing I want to see is consistency. I don't want to see this team beat Cleveland and then get blown out by Atlanta. I want to see this team win games. I want to see this team play hard from start to finish. And I want to see these guys start to have a little fun, which is hard to do because of all the turmoil and everything that's going on. And that may be asking a lot, that last part, but if they could just win a few games, that'll really change a lot of things.
You know, the Bulls are in a tough spot in terms of their relationship with their fan base, and that I would say that the majority of the fan base wants them to lose games now to ensure that they have the best possible chance at Zion Williamson, the number one pick in the draft coming up in June. And, you know, we've explained it many times, but we'll say it one more time. The bottom three teams all have the same chance, a 14% chance of winning the first pick in the draft lottery. Then it drops down to, I believe, 12.6 for the team with the fourth worst record. So having the worst record is of no benefit to you. It looks now like Cleveland is probably going to run away with that race. But Will just mentioned he'd like to see him, you know, not just win one game and look bad the next. Mm-hmm. If they put together a little bit of a winning streak and going to that 7-8 slot, some people are going to be unhappy about that. And that's, I guess that's the nature of a rebuild. You know, what Philadelphia did, it took them numerous years to finally get to a situation where they're a playoff team again because they hit on Joel Embiid, even though they had to wait 2 years for him because of the foot problems. They had to wait 1 year for Ben Simmons, but he's now an all-star caliber player. Right. Of course, they swung the trade for Jimmy Butler. But that was a painful thing for the sports fans of Philadelphia to go through. Do you guys sense that Bulls fans are maybe a little bit too impatient with what's going on? This, after all, this is year two of a full-scale rebuild.
Yeah, they may be a little bit impatient because rebuilds normally take 3 to 4 years, you know, before you start to see the fruits of your labor. But, you know, they have to continue to be patient, you know, and if the Bulls should start really playing well and start winning some games here, don't be surprised if you start to see some guys getting games off, resting.
Yeah.
Guys having strained patella tendons that they're getting warm-ups and things like that. Because
No, that's true.
Yeah,
because we saw some of that last year.
We
guys
saw a
are
lot
being
of that
held
last
out.
Year. But, yeah. And I'm sure that the Bulls management, they don't – since they're at this point in the season, they don't want to play themselves out of those three last spots.
Mm-hmm. See, this is the difference, I think. Last year – they basically – remember, I specifically remember the three of us sitting there on draft night in June. Basically, what, 18 months ago? And them trading Jimmy, And they had a direction. So we knew exactly what this team was doing. They didn't necessarily – I don't remember ever seeing, and maybe I'm wrong, but the Bulls organization using the word tank. Everybody else did. Mm-hmm. We all knew exactly what they were doing, and we all knew what they were trying to accomplish.
Well, the league frowns on that word. So
yes.
So they stayed away from it.
So they didn't want to get fined. So we all talked about it. We had the tank video from Justin every game. But the problem was is they hit a couple home runs in the draft. We saw glimpses of how good Zach could be. And then we started talking about this is the perfect lineup for what Fred Hoiberg is trying to do from a personnel standpoint. So the expectations started to rise, plus the fact they're in the Eastern Conference. Maybe, and that's a big maybe, if everything went right, we could sneak into that eighth playoff spot. I mean, you know, that was being very optimistic, but then everything just fell apart, and most notably injuries, coaching being fired. And it felt like we took a bunch of steps backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And what we haven't
seen. And then the Jabari thing didn't work out, where it didn't seem to fit with the plan of the rebuild.
And it just felt like constantly it was just gas on the fire, gas on the fire, gas on the fire. You know, it kind of reminded me of, you know, back in the day before gas when you used to cook out and you had the coals. And just for the hell of it, you would just sit there with lighter fluid and, and for no reason, right? It just seemed like the flames kept getting fanned.
I didn't know Will was a pyromaniac.
Yeah,
you learn things about people doing a podcast.
Yeah, and he knows how to make the flames go higher. You know?
I want to go higher. we could go off on that one, but it just seemed like it was one mistake after another that put the organization in a bad light.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you have players now stepping up and basically asking the question, what are we doing? Why are we getting blown out by a team that's in the same position as us, the Atlanta Hawks? Why? You know, asking why. And that just, the whole thing doesn't look good.
Right.
When you want, you just would like to see everybody on the same page, everybody moving in the right direction, and it just, and at least moving forward. It just seems like they're just right now keeping their head above water. Not drowning, but not really going in any direction.
Last thing I want to get to before we wrap things up, people are looking ahead to the draft, also looking ahead to free agency. And Friday night we got a good look at Tobias Harris, who showed us his skill set. The thing that impresses me the most, I remember when he came into the league out of Tennessee, he was kind of a limited player, mm-hmm. kind of a slasher, a guy who would crash the boards, didn't have much shooting range. He's really improved his game. Even though he's been traded a lot, every stop he's gone, he's continued to work on his game and he's improved. When you look at the free agent class of 2019, there's six players at the top, the elite level. It's Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, and probably I'd put Kemba Walker in that top group. And then the next class is your Tobias Harris's, Chris Middleton's. Boogie Cousins would probably be in that second level because he's coming off the injury. Would you guys invest a max contract to bring in Tobias Harris as a starting small forward in Chicago? I know it depends on what other moves they make, but is he worthy of that kind of a financial commitment?
Not if you don't have an Anthony Davis and somebody else to go along with him to make you a contender. That's the only way that I would spend the money. Tobias Harris, to me, is a great player. But is he a max player? I agree with Will, with what Will said earlier on the show. I don't know if I can spend that amount of money if I don't have the rest of the parts to fit on a team that can possibly vibe.
Problem is, though, that cap space doesn't last forever.
You know,
young guys come up and they get bumps in their pay, so that amount you can spend kind of shrinks. So you usually have a 1 or 2 year sweet spot where you have cap space.
Right.
And the Bulls could probably wait till next year. But, you know, we mentioned the impatience of the fan base. It almost feels like they should do something this summer.
Yeah, but let's not, you know, make a hasty decision and then turn around and sign a contract, you know, like a Carlos Boozer.
Or Jabari Parker.
I agree with Kendall. He would be the perfect guy to fit into this system if you have a superstar, first and foremost. But if he's a guy that you have to sign to a max contract that then you kind of look at him as your best player – the answer is no. He kind of reminds me, and this is no disrespect to Jimmy Butler, but kind of a Jimmy Butler type. If he's your best player, you're in trouble. And not because he's a bad player.
You're looking at that 6th through 8th seed.
Yeah, you're basically a playoff team, but you're not a contender.
Mm-hmm.
And I continue to talk to people about this. When you're the Lakers, the Bulls, now the Golden State Warriors, your fan base's expectations, your former players' expectations, and the organization's expectations should be different than any other team in the league because of the fact that you've won championships and you've won numerous championships. And those are the standards that you hold every team to.
What do you think the reaction of the fan base will be if the Bulls just come out and say, you know what, we're going to sit out free agency completely this year. We're going to take that cap room, we're going to hold it over to the next year, and then we're going to make our move. You think there'll be a lot of backlash where people understand that they weren't going to get the top free agents, so why overspend on guys that aren't at that level?
I think there'll be backlash because people fully expected to go to the playoffs this year or be competing for the 7th-8th spot this year. So if you don't make any moves in free agency, I think that, you know, you think it's bad now. It's going to be twice as bad next year if the Bulls don't try to improve this.
But then that goes right back to it. If Tobias Harris is the best player you can get and you have to max him out, is that a prudent decision to make? Is that something the organization has to do to try to tell their fans, hey, we're making a move to do something to make this better?
You know, Bernard Hopkins, who's a great fighter, they asked him, why did you box? Bernard Hopkins go down, probably one of the greatest middleweight champions of all time. But he said, I had to make it. I didn't have a plan B. Mm-hmm. So that's the exact attitude that the Bulls have to take this summer. You have to make moves no matter what. I think this is do or die.
And I think, Will, all options have to be on the table, whether that's, let's say you win the first pick, consider trading it if you can get the right star back in return.
Absolutely.
You know, if you don't feel like you've got the right coaching staff in place, even if you have to swallow hard and make another financial investment, you find the right coach. And whatever changes you have to make, if you have to trade a guy who you thought was in your core to get better, I think all options have to be on the table.
They have to be, because I think, like Kendall said, I don't think there'll be backlash. I think there'll be serious backlash. I know that I have friends of mine that were longtime season ticket holders that just washed their hands of the situation and said, I'm done. I'm tired of watching this product. I'm not re-signing on the dotted line. I'm not paying thousands of dollars for what you guys are giving me. And I think if they don't go out and sign up and make a splash in free agency, if they don't hit, you know, one of the top couple picks, I think there's going to be even more people like that are just like, I'm done. I can't take it. And also, and this is something that I think you seriously have to consider, the Bears are going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of interest now. We all know, listen, it's a Bears town, first and foremost.
It is.
Then the Cubs. Then the Bulls, maybe Blackhawks before Bulls, and then the White Sox. Would you agree with that?
I think the Bulls would be third.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the year for the Blackhawks because of the Stanley Cup. But if you're not careful, you're going to be down, and the White Sox are going in the right direction. You're going to be down below the White Sox. Now, not trying to be disrespectful to the White Sox, but where the Bulls used to be, to where they're headed, I think the fans are just – and listen, I know that was a long time ago because I was part of it. But as I mentioned before, that's just – that's what the expectations that the fans have from this organization and what these diehard fans, what they want and what they expect.
Yeah, we've been talking about 25 minutes all around it, but this is going to be a crucial offseason for the Bulls organization, not just for John Paxson and Gar Forman, but for the people in the marketing departments, the people who sell tickets. I mean, they've got to make a statement that this is moving in the right direction.
Listen, you know it. I know it. Kendall knows it. When we do these games on location and we're at the United Center and we're sitting in our media seats and you look around, there's not just empty seats. There's empty suites. Mm-hmm. And people have paid for those suites, but they're just electing not to go to the games. When you sign for those suites, it's an extended year contract. So those people are just electing not to go. And you're like, wow, you've already paid for it. Now, there's other costs involved if you decide to go to the game. But yet, I can't believe the people aren't at least showing up.
Right.
And I think they're starting to slowly send a message.
Well, it's going to be a very interesting finish to the season. The first thing coming up is the NBA trade deadline on February 7th. We'll see if the Bulls make any moves before that deadline hits. Then we got the All-Star weekend coming up in Charlotte on February 17th. We would imagine that Lauri Markkanen will be involved in the rookie-sophomore game. And then down the home stretch, see if the team can make some progress and see some development in some of the young guys. Of course, we'll be here to track it every step of the way on our pre- and post-game coverage, as well as our Bulls Talk podcast. We thank you for listening in. We'll be talking again at you real soon.